Yeah, in the first half, guys did a good job in being able to handle that, to be able to go in, you know, up at halftime, but then, you know, we get into the fourth quarter, and, you know, obviously the fumble was huge. I mean, we had some, you know, huge, you know, plays and penalties that cost us, and you know, when you sit there and you talk about, you know, accountability, you talk about your work, you talk about emphasis, you know, but we got to do it in the course of a game. And, you know, just, we're not doing that consistently enough. And, you know, each game you get one shot at it. So, yeah, I don't think this team has stopped fighting. I don't believe that there's pullback in it. You know, it's just, you know, got three one freaking score losses, and, you know, we've earned every one of them. So, like, it pisses me off.
Hey, Eric, it's David.
Hey, David, this is Eric.
Good to see you, man.
Absolutely.
Would you agree with that? That was head coach Mike Norvell, the Florida State Seminoles. Would you agree with that sentiment?
The sentiment of being, in his words, pissed off?
Yeah. I think that might be the sentiment of a lot of folks in the Tallahassee area.
A lot of fans nationwide.
A lot of alumni and fans nationwide. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think I would agree with it. That was Norvell talking after Saturday's third consecutive ACC loss to the Pittsburgh Panthers
this year.
ACC
losses in a row.
Hey, but we're 3-3.
Yes.
You know, we still have the ability for a winning season.
Yes, we do.
I'm going to take that back. There is still a chance that we could have a winning season. Whether we have the ability for that comes into question, right?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, man, it is time for another edition of Tally Benchwarmers here on WFSU, the podcast that at least dozens, maybe upwards of dozens of listeners pay attention to every week. Coming out of WFSU Public Media, I'm David Mullins, and you're Eric Carter.
That's what you tell me.
Yeah, and we sit on the bench before, during, and after the games, and we have things to say.
Actually, you're a lot closer to the bench during the games.
Yeah, because I'm actually out on the field taking photos and enjoying it. It's a lot more fun when we win than when we lose.
Absolutely.
And, man, I tell you, it's been a rough last 2 weeks at Doak. The Miami game, it was tough. And then Saturday against the Pittsburgh Panthers, we were 10-point favorites.
10.5.
10.5-point favorites.
Yes.
Lost by 3, but really, I mean, it felt like it should have been worse than that.
Well, you think about it like this. There was 2 turnovers.
Yeah.
Consecutive plays.
Yeah.
They were driving the score.
Yeah, they were.
They were driving
the
score.
I know. So those were the two, I guess, best defensive plays. We got a sack or two in there too, yeah. Yeah, it was not a fun weekend of college football here in Tallahassee. We'll talk about our FAMU Rattlers in a little bit too.
Yes,
but, you know, there are some other things happening in college football outside of the universe of Tallahassee, Florida, that we kind of live in the bubble here, right?
I like our bubble.
It's a good bubble to have.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a much better bubble to have when we win.
Yeah, because then we can enforce our bubble on everybody else.
Yeah. The one thing that didn't happen this week, I mean, we lost games, but we didn't fire our head coach.
No.
Which actually seemed to be...
That was trending.
That was trending over the weekend, right? Wow. Not necessarily a huge surprise because people were talking about it, but Penn State made a move.
Yes. They made a business decision, and I applaud them for that.
Yeah. James Franklin out as the head coach. Buyout amount was how much?
I think
it was around 50 million, right?
Yeah, I think it was 53
million. It was, you know, when you start talking about millions at that level, I mean, who cares about 1 or 2 million?
Right.
You know, that's a couple of million between friends, right?
I don't think he's a friend with them right now.
He may not be a friend, but you know what?
They're still going to be paying him.
They're going to pay him a lot of money not to coach their team.
Yes.
Man, I tell you,
We're in the wrong business.
It would be great. I would love to be paid. I mean, actually,
not to work.
If you paid me millions to work, I would do it too.
Yes.
But to be paid millions, pay me, not to worry.
You can pay me millions not to work.
Yeah. So Penn State on a 3-game losing streak too, right?
Yeah, they coincide with ours.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yes. Interesting. The firing not coinciding, yeah. at least not quite yet.
Yeah.
But. But Penn State they were preseason number one?
Two.
They were preseason number two. Yeah. They have taken, I'm going to use a big word, precipitous fall.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty good word, huh?
Wow.
Yeah.
It is like the rain falling.
It is. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. See, man, look at that. You're a lot smarter than you look. Let me put it that way.
Glad we're on radio.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But there were other coaches that now have been dismissed just over the weekend, right?
Yes, the Oregon State coach got dismissed.
Okay.
I can't remember his name. And also Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer.
Former Super Bowl champion.
Yeah.
And he was coaching at UAB.
UAB. See, I didn't even know he was coaching.
And they let him go.
Probably not as big of a buyout as James Franklin.
No, but his record kind of precipitated the necessity for him to be fired. He was 9-21 in three seasons.
Well, you know, I guess he had.
And it was an 18-game road losing streak in there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have actually between the two of us, we've got a potential for maybe three head coaching jobs they could look at us for.
Yes.
It'd be great.
Look, if we can get that 80% guarantee part of our contract, I'm in.
You would take any of the three.
Yes.
You know, Oregon, I forget where in Oregon State is, but Oregon's a beautiful state, man.
Yes.
It's
a lot.
Yeah. I think I might like that better than Penn State.
Speaking of Oregon.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
Something else happened. Ducks didn't swim too well this weekend.
Game day was there for the game,
yes.
Oregon-Indiana, right?
Yes.
And, man, I saw them at the very beginning. It was dark.
It was.
It would have been like 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning for them to go live.
Yeah.
And the Ducks, they were
still sleeping.
They must have been sleeping because Indiana is continuing to climb in the rankings.
Number three
now.
After knocking off number three.
And I mean, we've talked about Indiana for the past couple of seasons, but wow, that team is for real.
They built a good program.
And again, you think of Indiana, you think of Illinois as basketball schools.
But right.
Man, Indiana is making a definite name.
They're making noise.
Yeah. So the new top 25 is out. Ohio State stayed at one. Miami now is.
They stayed at two.
They stayed at two.
Yes.
And then followed by Indiana A&M with their win over the Swamp Lizards.
Yes. I'm not heartbroken about that.
Not heartbroken. I've got friends who are Gators, and my wife is an Aggie. She graduated back. I'm not going to tell you what year she graduated.
Last year.
Yeah, it was just last year.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, I don't know who to root for. But, you know, A&M, they were, I think they were five, now they're four.
Yeah.
Ole Miss still continues. Alabama.
They had a tough game against Washington State.
They did. Yeah.
Yeah,
I saw the. I was following the scoreboard there, and oh wow, yeah, that's Texas Tech. I tell you, is another team that is
they're for real.
They're for real.
Yeah, the Red Raiders.
That the Texas Tech is in the Big 12.
Yes, the Big 12.
They're in the Big 12. Yeah, and then Oregon dropped to 8. Georgia's 9. LSU's 10. Yeah,
that Georgia win. We should put an asterisk by.
What was the deal with Kirby and Clapping, calling timeout, all this crap?
Well,
what was going on?
One of the things was in that game, Auburn was actually, they actually scored.
Yeah, okay.
But the quarterback fumbled the ball.
Okay.
But he had already crossed the plane. The referees didn't call it. The defensive player did exactly what you're supposed to do. You play to the whistle. He came out of the pile with the ball, and he ran the other way.
Okay.
So instead of it being 17-0, it ended up being 10-7.
Right.
And then Georgia went on to win the game.
Yeah.
But, you know, 17-0
versus 10-7 is a big deal. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, but Georgia, you know, he found a way to win. So, man, you know,
Alabama hung on.
Alabama hung on. Look who else is the we should be talking about here in the great state of Florida. South Florida is climbing in the rankings. They're 19
yes.
in the AP.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And my Texas Longhorns with their victory over Oklahoma.
Archie looked golden.
Archie, yeah, he's maybe not the golden arm because they didn't rely on the passing game, really.
But, well, in that game, you know, yeah. that rivalry game, like yeah. I said, you know, anything happens, and whoever rushes for the most yards usually wins that game.
Yeah, and so Texas jumped back in. They had dropped out of the top 25,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And then just like Penn State with their losses, they dropped out of the top 25, but with this win, they – it came back in at 21. So lots of moving parts in the AP poll.
Yeah.
We dropped, right? FSU we were hanging on.
Yeah.
And we just dropped right out of there. And with that, that's kind of a nice little thing to kind of get into. Oh, yeah, the war chant.
It still sounds good no matter what the record
is. Even when we're losing, but I'm telling you, it's tough when you lose
yeah.
and you hear the war chant, and you hear that even in that fourth quarter touchdown, and the people are like, yeah. But another onside attempt that didn't go our way.
When you have to rely on onside kicks
yeah.
for a win.
That was four onside kicks in the last five quarters.
Yes.
Five quarters,
yeah.
right, because we were all in the fourth quarter against yep. Miami. Yeah, and I'm telling you, that stupid way that they – is that an NCAA rule now that the ball has to lay on its side? You can't kick it
no.
onside off the tee?
No, that's just a preference that a team does because you can kick it off the tee.
Okay. After what happened against Miami, I think I would have – if I was special teams coach,
yeah.
I think I would have at least
– go back to the tradition.
Go back to change it up.
Yeah.
Although – I actually got a photo of the ball. We our guy, he had an arm coming in for the ball, but the
he just laid on top of it.
Yeah, the pit guy just came right to him. So yeah, yeah it was. But
and you know, man. With the rule, you got to wait for it to go 10 yards.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but you can blast them though. See, the thing is, they could have hit them.
Why don't they?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Man, by the way, blasting real quick, going to pivot from FSU just for a second. Did you see that hit that the Missouri defender laid on that Alabama receiver? Just flat out, I think it may have knocked him out. I'm not sure.
It was serious.
It was, yeah, it was.
It was clean.
Was it clean?
Yes.
Okay.
It was clean.
I didn't pay enough attention to it to know whether it was clean or not. But, man, that was a hit.
That was a bang bang.
That was a 1970s Jack Tatum hit. Remember Jack Tatum?
Oh yeah. Dick Butkus.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about those big Ronnie Lott. That was a Ronnie Lott hit.
That was definitely a yeah, Ronnie Lott yeah. hit. Yes.
So yeah, you know, we're showing our age. but yeah, let's talk about that. That game, three consecutive losses.
Three consecutive ACC losses.
ACC losses.
We don't.
Let's go back to last season. Except for the Cal game.
I mean,
except for the Cal game, we would have 11 straight ACC losses.
Correct.
But we've lost 10 out of the last 11.
10 out of the last 11. Three straight this year.
And the Cal game wasn't a gimme. I mean, it wasn't, you know, it was close.
If their place kicker could actually was able to hit that field goal, then we lose that game.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, and this, we were a 10, you said 10.5
10 and a half point favorite.
That they made the Pitt true freshman QB first road start of his career.
First start.
It was his. No, I thought that he had a start, but maybe I know.
No,
it was
he
his
came
first
in. He
start.
Came in the second half of the last that the game before.
Okay,
and this is it was his first true start,
yeah.
and it was a road start.
A road start
here in Tallahassee.
We're talking about the kid. His name is Mason Heinchel.
Yes, Heichel.
Heichel?
Yes.
Heichel, okay. Yeah. Definitely a kind of a Rust Belt name, that says, you know.
Absolutely.
I think, and I saw a clip where one of the coaches was really proud of when they recruited him and brought him in.
Yes.
But we made him look like, our defense allowed him to look like a
Carson Beck.
Well, even better than Carson Beck, because he probably, the holes
yes.
that were in, when he would scramble just a little bit, and
yeah.
then looking at it from either end of the end zone, man, I could have run through that. I could have driven my car through some of those holes. And yeah, I think he rushed for 64 yards,
yeah.
threw for 321.
He had a good as a first time starter.
Yeah. yeah. Two INTs, which thankfully for us, you know,
yeah, because they were actually in position to score both times.
I looked at the QB rating at the end of the game, and Tommy actually had a higher rating.
He had a 221 rating.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for these INTs, then you know that Nigel would have had a much higher rating.
Well, and this is the thing. Like I told you last week, I said, you know, to me, this was a trap game mm-hmm. for FSU.
Yeah. yeah.
And I said, because Pitt has the ability to score 40 points on anybody.
Well, we held them to 34.
yes, minus two interceptions.
Yeah, yeah, so we held them to 34. But, we only scored 31, but yeah.
But the thing is, yeah. The tone of the game was set on that first drive.
It was.
Three times, fourth down conversion.
Yeah, three in a row.
Three.
Well, I guess that makes sense. If you didn't have one in a row, that was a stupid comment, Mullins.
No. Three times because you got to think of it like this, because
yeah,
a couple of those were they had a fourth down
yeah.
and then they got a first down the next set of series
but you're right. The tone was set there because I think they realized
they were playing to win from the very beginning.
Yeah, and they realized, hey, we can move the ball against these guys.
Yes.
And, man, I tell you, they had two one was a running back, I think one was a receiver. Two little short guys, I think number zero, number five.
Yes, they lit us up.
They did, man. I'm telling you. The Desmond Reed, I think, was
the receiver. He was the running back. Yes.
But he caught eight passes for 155 yards.
Yes.
And then he ran for another 44. He by himself, you know, 200 total yards on the game. But you could, I mean, I could kind of understand how you could miss him because
he wasn't very big.
He wasn't very big. But how many times was there a receiver, either a running back or receiver, just sitting there wide open right in the middle of the field?
They didn't even utilize their tight ends like they should have.
Yeah.
Because their tight ends were wide open.
Yeah. But just right, I mean, just kind of run, park yourself into this right there.
And stand still and
then put a move on our guys and run for another 10 or 15 yards or longer. It was a tough game to watch.
Yeah, and you were there.
I was there. The crowd was in it a little bit.
Yeah.
The crowd was not in it nearly enough. There was certainly not a 12th man on, but I mean, I think we would have needed that 12th man to actually be on the field playing defense for us.
We would need a 13th man.
We would have needed 13 players. Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. And you know, Tommy threw for 245. Mm-hmm. Danzy had a maybe his best game.
He did so far. He had
133 yards.
Yep, he had 133 yards on seven catches.
Yeah,
and two touchdowns. Pretty touchdowns.
Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Pretty touchdowns.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's the thing, you know, you don't like making comparisons about a team from last year to the team this year, but the one thing I'll say is, if your receivers are catching the ball, it makes it a lot better. These guys are catching the ball.
Yeah.
The guys are catching the ball. It's just that our defense isn't holding up on their end.
Yeah. And Deuce got hurt. I'm not sure what he went out with.
He got nailed.
Yeah.
He turned around and the defender just planted himself right in the middle of Deuce, in the middle of his body.
Yeah,
But
he didn't come back in the game. I don't think.
He was gone for the rest of the game.
So. Yeah, because I don't remember seeing him. So yeah, we were a little had some trouble. We didn't necessarily have trouble moving the ball, although, and we had very respectable total yards, right?
Yeah, we had 415, yeah. You know, total yards. Yeah. You know, 245 passing, 170 rushing. You know, this is the first game in the six games mm-hmm. that we've actually been out, you know, that a team has had more production than
yeah,
us
yeah.
and time of possession.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not climbing in the right direction.
Yeah. So this was the least number of yards that we've gained
correct. All
season long in a game. And the usually when you intercept two passes in a game, usually that's going to usually result in a win.
Yeah. And, you know, but, you know, like I said, offensively, we're doing what we did. Had 21 first downs. We were 6 of 12 on third. We didn't mm-hmm. go for any fourth downs because yep. we didn't have to. You know, penalty-wise, we had 8 penalties for 72 yards. Some of those penalties were, you know, lack of concentration, like the one on Deuce. You yeah. know, he yeah. slapped a guy in his face.
Yeah.
You know, after they were pushing. Yeah.
That hurts.
And, you know, you're not supposed to do that. Another thing is in the second half of this game, we only scored 10 points.
Yeah, and then the touchdown was with like 2 minutes, right at 2 minutes left, right?
It was like 48 seconds left.
Oh, gosh, it was that much. Okay, I remember that we had the ball.
Yeah, we got the ball with like a
you're right.
A little close to two minutes.
I mean, Coach was playing the timeout game really well there at the end because mm-hmm. he knew he was going to get the two-minute
right.
timeout, too. You're right. I was mm-hmm. I was confusing myself with other late game issues with the Noles this year. But, yeah, so then when you're – depending on an
onside kick.
Yeah, tough. Yeah. So Coach said at the beginning of this, we played the clip from his post-game press conference, you know, that he's pissed. I think that people around our fan base are maybe a little bit upset.
Yeah.
You should be frustrated results. We've lost three straight games. I'm frustrated with the results. And, you know, ultimately, we got to get it fixed. We got to go make it better and show the potential of what this team is, on a consistent basis. But, yeah, there's every bit of frustration. And there's no fan that's out there that's more frustrated than I am. And, there's been, a lot of work and investment and push with this team. And we got to get the job done. And that's what it comes down to. But I understand their frustrations, and we're going to get it fixed, and we're going to get it right.
You know, all good things that the coach says there, but I'm not sure if he is the most frustrated of everybody.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. There's been a lot of memes going around.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, they've been some good funny ones. You know, you shared a good one yesterday. You know, other teams, when they win, they fire coaches.
Yeah. So the meme the meme that Eric is talking about, a lot of people probably have seen this. It's a shot of both Coach Napier from University of Florida, the Gators, the Swamp Lizards, and Norvell, and is talking about our game after the next five ACC matches that we've got.
Yeah.
We've got that annual game against the Gators. And the meme is it's the Florida playoff proposal, or the Florida end-of-season proposal, that the team that wins gets to fire their coach. The team that loses has to extend the contract.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Kind of. So there's a lot of disgruntled fans right now.
Yeah, you know, I've seen some memes, and there was some one that says, you know, Jimbo has enough from his Texas A&M buyout that he can actually pay off getting rid of Norvell.
Now,
have some extra money.
And he'd have some money. That's an interesting prospect. I wonder if Jimbo has even thought about that, because it does seem like Jimbo may have an affinity to or a desire to come back, right?
Well, you think about it. He was pushing for a football-only facility and things like that, and, you know.
Check the box there.
So, you know, he was actually pushing for more better salaries for his coaches.
Check that box.
Check the box there. So
even more just support from the boosters to begin with, right?
Right.
Check that box.
So, like you said, like we talked about earlier, 11 years later, and Jimbo would have everything that he asked for.
There you go. He could walk right in. So what would you, I mean, let's just play this out. What would you think of that scenario? Would you be in favor of it?
I have mixed emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I have mixed emotions only because the way he left.
Yeah.
You know, the way, and I can understand why he left and the way he left, but I guess it would be frustrating if you're saying, hey, I can see the future, and the guys that you're proposing it to mm-hmm. really can't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there will be already are, and then there will be even more head coaching jobs out there available by the end of this season that if Jimbo really, really wants to get back in coaching.
Yeah.
Now, I'm assuming if he gets a job, then A&M probably really wants him to get a job, because that would A&M still have to pay off that
they
guaranteed
still,
money?
Well, no, his is guaranteed no matter what.
Well, then
he didn't have, you know, most coaches now where it's a prorated portion.
Right.
It's, his was 100% fully guaranteed. Whether you coach or you don't coach, from day one, if he would have never walked on the field, he was going to make that $77 million.
So I think Jimbo needs to adopt us as the brothers that he never knew he wanted.
Absolutely.
Needed. Yeah, that would be a great thing. Hey, you know, there was the most positive thing in my mind. Actually, there were two things. Our most positive play in the early part of the Pitt game was the Pitt kickoff that went out of bounds, you know, before the,
yes.
So I turned to a guy at the opposite end zone and said, hey, that's our best play of the game so far. But the other real positive thing was the university was recognizing Cancer Awareness Month.
Yes.
During the game, and honored two of our coaches who have won their battles, kicked their battles with cancer, Coach Wyckoff and Coach Alameda. They were on the field, and everybody was just really cheering for that.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
We've got now to travel West Coast.
The West Coast hasn't been very friendly to us lately.
No, in multiple sports.
Right. But in football, realistically, we are 1-3 in the last four times we've traveled out that way.
And that goes back 12 years,
yes.
Right?
We won the national championship there.
Okay, that's a good thing. We beat who for the national? That was at the Auburn game, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we beat Auburn in 2015.
2013.
I don't know my
2014,
things.
We went back.
Okay.
The next year, first year of the actual supposed playoffs.
Oh, okay.
And we lost to Oregon.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we're 1-1.
Right.
At that point.
We lost to Cal.
Lost to Cal.
Yes.
Okay.
And so it's not looking very prosperous for us to go out mm-hmm. West Coast.
Yeah. And we've got Stanford coming up this Saturday night, 10:30 games, I guess 7:30 on the West Coast.
Right.
10:30 game. It's going to be on ESPN, so we'll get a chance to watch it.
Stay up late.
All of us diehard Null fans, which would be probably two of us here in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a room and only two people in the room, so I said two of us in the room.
Yeah.
But, it's, you know, we've talked about this before we started recording the podcast, the what-ifs. I mean, if we're seeing and hearing a lot of buzz around Coach Norvell with this now 8-game losing streak in the ACC, if we make that a 9-game losing streak, what's going to happen? I mean, is that buzz going to...
It's going to get louder.
Even get louder.
Yeah.
That was... Actually, it got so loud that my phone just started blowing up there. I think that's all of the fans of the meme that are getting back to me. but yeah, wow. I mean...
It becomes hard to, you know, stand behind a coach when you're not even winning conference games.
Yeah.
Now, granted, preseason, we weren't highly ranked.
There was no expectation. I think people were thinking maybe a 6-win, 7-win on the outside season, right?
Right.
Still can get to that.
Yes, we can. But, you know, like I said from the very beginning, I don't think we should have gotten ranked as high as we were after the Alabama win.
Yeah.
And then the two teams after that.
And we kept moving up.
We kept moving up, and I kept saying that I didn't see it yet from us.
Yeah.
I didn't see it yet from us. And, you know, you start playing teams that actually have enough gumption to play and want to win.
Yeah.
And they come to win. And, you know, with the Pitt game, especially with the Pitt game, like I said, they came to win. They came to score points.
Yeah.
And they did, you know, put a little salt in the wound. Our women's volleyball team.
That's right.
They fell to Pitt this week also.
Yeah, and it was a full and loud arena. Taylor Cox, our operations and programming manager here at WFSU-FM, was at the game. He said, really, it's fun. A lot of fun.
Yes.
But Pitt just put us down.
Yes.
Yeah, so.
0-for for Pitt this year.
Yeah, this weekend was an 0-for with against the Panthers.
Yes.
I did kind of like their mascot. It's kind of a cute-looking mascot. Yeah. It was out on the field. But I actually had a nice conversation with one of their cheerleaders who, by the way, did not know whether there would be a considered a penalty. I forget what it was now, which tells me that their cheerleaders really maybe not necessarily know much about the game of football. They're just there to cheer.
Yes.
At least in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He said it was nice, a cool wind. Wanted to know if it was always windy in Tallahassee. He says, no, come here in August.
Yeah.
But he also said, he left 30 or 40 degree temperatures in
Pittsburgh. So they were happy.
So this was nice. Yeah.
Yeah, they were happy to be here.
Yeah. But so nice group of cheerleaders. But yeah, too bad that now we're tied with BC, I think, at the bottom of the ACC.
Yeah, they are 0-4 in conference play, and we are 0-3.
Yeah, and then we're just, yeah, that's tough, very tough. So not only did we have bad news out of the Doak Campbell Stadium,
yes,
area of Tallahassee.
Bragg Memorial.
Bragg was equally disappointed with the outcome of their game against North Carolina Central.
Yes. But unlike the FSU game,
mm-hmm.
the Rattlers weren't in it from the game, from the kickoff.
Not even, yeah, and I guess unlike it, this was not a conference loss for
right.
them. Big deal. 45-7. That was a beatdown.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think Coach Culsey didn't really have any answers. You know, it's interesting that you hear coaches in their press conference after the game. It's always, we got to get better. It's on me. We're going to get back to the basics, all this. And this is what happens with probably the folks of the alumni and the supporters and the fans of FAMU. It's, we're tired of hearing that as,
right.
you know, those excuses, those reasons. I mean,
yeah.
let's just find a way to win.
Well, you know, and the one thing about it, this is a result-oriented profession.
Yeah, it is.
You don't win, you got to go.
Mm-hmm. I remember talking with Leonard Hamilton at a dinner one time. He happened to be at the same table. It was a Boys and Girls Club thing where he was the speaker. And one thing he talked about is it's really challenging to that your job is dependent on every play of what the outcome of the work of a 18, 19, 20-year-old kid.
Yep. Yep.
And I'm like, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But, yeah. but you know, as far as then when it comes to football, you always hope that they're going to maybe adapt and make some changes at
right.
halftime, which we don't seem to be doing. And I'm guessing same thing for the Rattlers. Yeah.
So far.
Yeah, so far. Mm-hmm. But you said there was one bright spot, I guess, or one positive that came out of this game.
One positive that came out of the game
yeah.
at Bragg is the suspension that Joe Bullock
oh,
had
Joe
to,
Bullock. Yeah.
you know, endure, as he should have.
Yeah.
You know, they're still... don't know because the SWAC actually asked for two games.
And
FAMU wanted one.
Okay.
So we don't know the results of that yet. They haven't come back with a complete answer yet.
But if they come back and agree with FAMU, then Joe is back
for
back with announcing games.
Back next week.
Next week.
For homecoming.
Oh, Well, you know, they're probably really hoping that that.
Well, yeah. And for Joe Buller, it'd be his 50th year being an announcer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a big deal for FAMU.
Yeah, yeah.
So
understood.
That's one of the reasons they're pushing it. But, mm-hmm. you know, what he said was just definitely uncalled for. So
yeah, so we move on.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to sit back around these microphones next Monday afternoon, and we're going to either be talking about finally we got a win, then 4-3
in the ACC,
or we're sitting at 3-4 and everybody's calling for Norvell's head. So that's what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, but and until then, anything else? Any parting comments there from the other side of the table?
Like I said. This Stanford game coming up, it's a I give us a 50-50 chance because, like I said, traveling out to the West Coast hasn't been pleasant for us.
Body clocks for athletes. It's the same thing.
And not only that, you know, Stanford hasn't been blown out of any games.
No,
they play solid defense.
Yeah, do they have a quarterback that can scramble at all?
Actually, he does move really well.
Okay, well, it's Let's not have too many high hopes then.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, good talking to you, man.
Absolutely.
It's time for us to say goodbye here after one more week of terrible news coming out of the Campbell Stadium and the Florida State University football team.
But it's always go Noles.
It's always go Noles, and we will see you next time on Tally Benchwarmers.